Great, the Father will be teaching the class. Let's open the word of prayer as we begin our class. Our Father, we thank thee for this book of Exodus. Thank thee for Moses, his faithfulness, at least in this time period. We're sorry that he let thee down at the end of his life, but we're glad that he was faithful. Help us and lead us and guide us as we go through this chapter 19 this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's begin. Let's begin if you can. I wonder, Jacob, if you could start reading 1, 2, and 3, and then your mom maybe 4, 5, and 6 for us. Later on, but in Exodus chapter 19. Okay. Well, maybe before we go over the questions, do we have the
preceding? No, we read it.
We read it first, okay.
Yeah, we read usually up to about six verses, and then we answer from the sheet.
The question, okay.
In six, and then
so why don't you read the first 3, and then your mother the 4, 5, and 6. Is that okay? Okay, go right ahead.
When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, when the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, and
Jethro, is this chapter 19?
That's the wrong place.
Chapter 19.
He's in the wrong place.
Well, wait a minute. Are you in chapter 19?
You know what? I went to 18 because I thought it was 18.
It should be 19, yes. I'm sorry. 19.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay, I'm glad at least your mother's all right.
Third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel.
You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare ye on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
All right. Thank you, Jacob and Gail. All right. Let me ask the question. Mom, would you give this first question? In which month did the children of Israel come out of the wilderness of Sinai?
This month here.
If you go ahead.
The third month.
That's right, the third month. And Bill, would you read the question and answer that for us, the second
one? Okay. Where in Sinai's desert did the children of Israel set up camp? In the wilderness before the mount.
Before the mount, that's right. And Jacob, would you read number 3 and answer that for us, please?
What were the children of Israel not to have?
Oh, no, verse 3, the third verse. The third question, rather.
Well, the third question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is 19.
Right? 19, yeah.
I'm on 20. Okay, you know what? I'm having a bad day here.
So, actually, if you can find verse 19.
Where did the Lord call unto Moses? From on Mount Sinai.
The mountain right there. That's right. And Dale, would you read question 4 and give your answer, please?
Yes, he's got to enlarge it here because I can't see it.
Oh,
just,
okay.
Just
okay.
On whose wings did the Lord say that he had carried the children of Israel?
On eagle's wings, that's right, that's good. So we got 1 through 4. Notice the third month, what mount was he camped before? What do you call that mount?
That was Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai, that's right. And the Lord called him. The Lord spoke to Moses, didn't he? He spoke to him with a clear voice. Doesn't speak to us today. A lot of people, you know, different views believe they still hear from the Lord, but that's finished. We got the Bible now. Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, on television, the preachers there say, well, the Lord told me this, and he told me that, and he told me to inform you people about this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord goes into a lot of details, according to them.
That's the imagination, that's right.
And so the people believe it.
People believe it. At least in Moses' day, the Lord did speak and communicate, and in the New Testament as well. But now we have the book of the whole Bible, and that's where we find our information. And then he called out of the mountain, and he said, what was he to do? What was in verse 3? What was Moses to do? What was he to do?
He was to go up to the Lord.
All right, and say to the house of Israel. Say certain things to the house of Jacob, and he spoke to speak the word of God to them. That's right. Then in verse 4, we answered that already. What do you think eagle's wings would be? What's on eagle's wings? Is that good or bad?
Good.
What do eagles do?
They fly.
Short distance, long distance, what?
Long distance.
High, low, what?
They're strong.
Very high.
It's too.
Jacob, do you have any idea on the eagles? Do you have any eagles where you are there in Texas?
Well, yes, I've seen two of them today.
Good. So.
I think we have an eagle because sometimes I'm looking out the window the last couple of days. I see an eagle flying. Then the next day I saw him flying broader.
Yes, you think it's an eagle right here?
Yep, saw the same eagle this morning.
Is that right?
I didn't see the eagle
today. It grabs your attention because he was on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And the wingspan is like really big.
Yeah, maybe five feet or so, six feet, yeah. Good.
Oh, you actually saw him. That's nice.
Yeah, he was on the sidewalk actually for a moment next to that Methodist church.
So when
by the
God,
Methodist church?
Yeah.
When God says he bare them on eagle's wings and brought him to himself, what would that implication be? Wings brought to himself. Verse 4.
He's bringing Moses up strong.
Strong and high
and
directly.
High, yeah, and quickly.
That's right. But where did Moses, where was Moses before the Lord brought him on eagle's wings?
I was in the camp.
And again, what country was he in before he brought him up?
Oh, you mean in Egypt?
He was in Egypt, wasn't he? And he brought him up. Was that easier or simple? Or was it difficult?
Well, it was a lot of people.
A lot of people and dangers and so on. But all these plagues, remember the 10 plagues, we went over that earlier, brought him to myself. And so he's in the wilderness, and he wants him to get out of the wilderness, doesn't he, eventually. And then in verse number 5, we've already answered the question, but what does it mean to obey my voice?
Be obedient and
trust him. Trust him, because does the Lord want the believers today, the Christians today, to believe and obey his voice?
And trust him.
He wants to trust and obey and keep my covenant. What covenant did Moses have to keep?
Well, that was the Abrahamic covenant there.
What's that, Jacob? Well, there's the Abrahamic covenant, but also there's the Mosaic covenant. So the different covenants in the scriptures. But now, what does this mean? You'd be a peculiar treasure. What kind of meaning does that? What's that, Dale?
Special.
Special. That's right. I mean, treasures. What do they think of treasures?
Exclusive.
That's right. Exclusive. What kind of things are treasures today?
Gems, gold,
silver. How about paper dollars?
Well, some people view that as a treasure.
Then nothing. It's just paper, just manufactured and printed out by men. And we're getting lower and lower and lower values, aren't we, on the dollar?
Sometimes, yes, Mother will say one of her children are her treasure.
And sometimes the little children are treasure, that's right. Someone that's valuable to them. Above all people, what does that mean? In verse 5, Israel above all people. What other people were there in the land?
They're the chosen people.
Chosen people?
Well, there's Egyptians.
A lot of Egyptians.
Then there's the people that lived in the land of Canaan that had
Canaanites?
Been taken out.
All right, all kinds of different people. Did they believe the Lord God of Israel? These other people?
Some became believers.
No, some became, but they were apostate people, weren't they? They were unbelievers. And treasure above all people. So Israel, the chosen nation, chosen people, did Israel let God down?
Yes.
Yes, they did, see. But God made them real high, and then they just let them down. It's a sad thing. Of all the earth is my people, for all the earth is mine. What does that mean? How did the earth come here?
Well, God made the earth, so it's his.
Right.
It's his property.
It's his property. What do the atheists believe? Jacob, what do they believe?
They believe that we came out of some kind of primordial slime.
Primordial slime.
Yeah.
That's right, a little tiny thing, something. But the earth is mine. In other words, God controls it. Now, does all this business of climate change and so on, did the Lord need man to change the climate?
Yeah.
He's got it worked out. Everything is fine. It's working well according to what he wants. So these are important things. Then in verse number 6, I don't think, did we come to 6? Did we ask the question of 6?
We didn't ask the question yet.
Did we ask the question of 5 yet, do you remember?
No.
Well, let's ask the question of 5. Go ahead, Dale, what's that question 5? Please read it and answer it for us.
What did the Lord desire the children of Israel to do, to obey and keep?
To obey his voice and keep his what?
His covenant.
His covenant, okay. So that's important to obey and to keep what God has promised them to do. Does everybody keep what they're supposed to keep these days?
No.
No? It's a lot of people, they say, well, I'm going to do it, but they don't do it. But God wanted his people to keep what he wanted to keep, his word. And we should keep God's word today if we're genuine Christians in the New Testament as well. All right, Jacob, would you read number 6 and answer that one for us, please?
The type of nation he wanted Israel to be. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Okay, a priest and a holy nation. Now, what would a holy nation be?
They would live by God's covenant.
All right.
And obey him.
Do we have a holy nation, the United States of America?
No.
No, we don't, do we, Jacob and Dale? Absolutely. It's getting less holy and less holy, isn't it, every single time?
Yeah, especially with Obama.
Oh, Paul, I'm sorry, Paul, I forgot, Paul. And Elaine, oh my, I apologize for that.
That's quite right.
Elaine, I want you to read something too. So a holy nation is very important. So we read down to 6. Elaine, would you read 7 and 8, please?
Verses
7. Yeah, verses 7 and 8.
It's all for the young people, and young people of faith, all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all people answered.
All right, that's verse 7, is it? Bill, would you read the question 7 and answer that for us, please?
On 7?
Yes, Dale, that's fine. Go right ahead.
Upon whose faces did Moses send the words which the Lord commanded? Was that 7?
Yeah, verse 7, uh-huh. All right, call for the elders of the people, that's right. And what did he do there, those people? By the way, what is an elder? How would we define an elder?
He could be a deacon.
He's one that is an older person in the things of faith, even today, the elders today, pastor, bishop, elders. But they were usually the rulers, or the helpers to control people and to rule the people of Israel. And laid before their faces, what did he lay before their faces? The words, all the words which the Lord commanded. Now, that's wonderful. Is it important to have all the words of God, just a few of them?
No, all of them.
All of them, absolutely. We need all.
That's why we're particular about the Bible.
That's right. Do all the new modern versions have all the words of God?
No.
How many words are different than the words in the New Testament that I rely on King James Bible?
No.
How many words are different in these new versions?
8,000.
Oh, 8,000, absolutely. And how many are doctrinal important?
Over 300.
356, that's right, that's important, isn't it? Those are doctrinal words, but all the words. God wants us the whole thing. Everything is important, it's precious, and he gave it to us by inspiration. So we read 7. Did someone read 8 also? Did you read 8, Elaine?
I didn't read 8.
You read 8, okay. So, Elaine, why don't you answer that 8th question? Read that 8th question, please. Do you have that 8th question before you or not? All the people, that's right, but all the people. Now, were they lying or were they telling the truth?
No truth, lying.
They were lying. Why do people say they're going to do it, they don't do it? Do we have people today that lie the same way?
Yeah, and when the moment is intense, they're willing to go along, but after a few minutes, they forget their promises, and they do what they want to do.
Yes. Is that true in marriage, for example?
Yeah, it's true in everything.
True in everything. I'm going to do this. In fact, somebody says they're going to come to the class and don't come. I'm sorry about that. All right. So we've got, what's that, Jacob?
Or, well, I was laughing. So, they didn't even know what they were supposed to do yet, did they?
No.
They just promised that
That's right. In fact, chapter 20, you got the law, the Ten Commandments. They didn't have that yet.
The next chapter.
The next chapter, that's right. So, all right, Vaughn, would you read verse 9? Let's go over verses now. First, maybe run 9 and 10. Read 9 and 10 for us, please.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come to see thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
All right. Dale, would you read question 9 and answer it for us, please?
For what two reasons did the Lord come to Moses in a thick cloud? So that the people may hear when he speaks with them.
That's
and
good.
Believe.
No, that's good. What is the difference between hearing and believing? Is there any difference?
A lot of difference.
A lot of difference. Illustrate, for example, you can hear a lot of words of the scriptures. What about the gospel? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. They hear, but what does it mean to believe?
To believe, I believe you have to be a child of God.
Child of God, and just like when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, Sir, what must I do to be saved? What did he say?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
So hearing, we've got to trust the words of God. People hear them all the time. Maybe scriptures are read, but they don't believe them. Like in John 3:16, let's all say that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Part, let's see. Yeah, fine. Go ahead.
Some people, usually the same person or people, they will say, oh, I'll do that. Oh, I'll... Said, I suppose you were going to have a party or something. Well, I'll make the cake. I'll make the birthday cake. I'll make it. You will? Yes. And I count, yes. And then the day comes and the person hasn't brought any cake, did nothing.
Yes.
Didn't even come to the party. That happens lots of times with people.
That's right. That's sad. It really is sad.
You can't depend on... I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I shouldn't be talking.
No, that's fine. Sorry. You can't depend on people, can you? Hearing...
A lot of people make the statement that they believe. They make the statement that they're saved.
That's right. But a lot of times they're lost. They're not saved, rather. That's
we don't know their hearts.
Only God knows their hearts. God knoweth them that are his. But everyone in the name of Christ depart from iniquity, as the scripture says. All right, let's see, Elaine, could you read, did we ask the question of 10 yet? I don't remember. I don't think we answered.
Yeah, that's interesting. Command.
No, not yet.
Okay, Elaine, would you read question 10 and give us an answer, please?
I
think we read verse 10.
Yeah, we read 10.
Just read the answer, the question 10. Do you have question 10?
Well, what did the
Lord command
people
to
wash?
That's right.
I have a question.
Yvonne, question.
Do you think they never washed their clothes until then? I wonder that.
I hope they washed their
clothes.
Well,
remember it says their clothes did not wax wicked, their shoes were out. So apparently the Lord just kept them clean, see, throughout the whole 4 years.
I just wondered if they washed them, we just weren't told. But
now, what should we wash today?
Everything.
What's the most important thing to wash?
Well, wash the body first.
The body? Is that the most important thing to wash?
Yeah.
I would think so.
What else, Jacob?
Clothes. If you put a clean body in dirty clothes, you can get.
I know, but I'm thinking of other things to wash, not clothes.
Why
not? Their sins, their hearts, their souls. That's important. Wash for the blood of Christ. That's important. Trusting in Christ to save. Save
with the water of the Word of God.
The water of the Word of God. That's right. All right. Go ahead, Jacob. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
what I will do, I'm I'm wrong, Second Peter, is that even though it says in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, it just faithful and just forgive us our sins, we should keep short accounts.
Yes, absolutely. Short accounts of the Lord, absolutely. All right, whose turn is it? Bill, go ahead, read number 11 and 12, please.
and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death.
All right, why don't you read that question 11, Bill, and answer that question, please.
What amazing event was going to occur on the third day? The Lord will appear in the sight of the people on Mount Sinai.
That's good. Now, how do you think the Lord was appearing? How do you think he appeared?
Smoke.
Smoke, that's right, and yeah. Thunder and lightning. So, not a visible image. Is God a body or is he a spirit?
He's a spirit.
He's a spirit, that's right. So, you can't really see him like we see normal things here. So, but the evidence of him, the smoke and the fire and the lightning and shining. And then in verse 11, let's see, Dale, would you read that for us and give that answer, please?
Verse 11.
No, I think it's 12. No, I mean, somebody has to read. Did we read
that? I read 11 and 12, answered 11.
But okay, we have to answer verse 12, if you would, please, Dale. Read okay. Answer 12, okay.
He told him to set bounds for the people. The base of the mountains. They would set bounds.
Okay, what is a bound? How would you describe that?
Some kind of a border.
All right.
Some kind of a border to keep the people.
Make a circle.
So make a circle around so people
fence,
wouldn't get in
like
there.
A fence or something?
We've got, the scriptures give true Christian, genuine Christian, bounds.
Yes.
In what way? What way do we have bounds that the Lord has given to us as well?
We're supposed to follow the ways of the Lord.
That's right, the ways of the Lord. And he has some certain things. Now, wait a minute, stay away from this. All these things that are commands, stay away from sin, walk in the Holy Spirit of God, but not after the flesh. So there's bounds, but we shouldn't be going there. All right, someone read then verses 13 and 14. Elaine, why don't you read 13 and 14 for us, please?
There shall not in the king of Tarsus go through the stone and shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not be when the trumpet shall be blown, it shall come up to the mount. Moses went down from the mount to the people and sacrificed people and lost their clothes.
Okay, verse 13, the question 13. Let's see. I don't know whose turn it is. Mom, do I read it?
What was the penalty for any man or beast who broke past the boundaries around the mountain and touched it? He'd be stoned, or he'd be shot through.
Shot through.
He shall not live.
Okay. Are there any places like that you touch are going to be killed today?
No.
That could be like a strong electric fence or something.
Oh, there could be strong
electric fence. Electrified fence, yeah.
There could be things. But this was a very important thing. This was a miracle, wasn't it? Touching the mountain. See, just regular mountain. But God performed it.
The Ark of the Covenant.
All right. Do not touch the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, Vaughn?
If a telephone pole falls down, live wires, you're not supposed to touch
That's
it.
That's right. Live wires. That would kill you, too. Mm-hmm. Now,
a dirt rail on an electric train line.
That's exactly right, Jacob. That's right. There's certain things that God wants us to stay away from. And he doesn't really kill us, but he's displeased when we violate his words, isn't he? Displeased when we don't go along with what he wants us to do. So it says in verse 13, when the trumpet soundeth long. So apparently there's going to be a trumpet, then they shall come up to the mount. But don't touch it right. Yvonne.
I was wondering, you think that'll be the same trumpet that's going to blow when Christ comes again?
I don't.
Every once in a while you read about a trumpet.
Well,
I suppose it's the same trumpet.
I don't know. It seems like there's different trumpets calling, assembling different things in the Old Testament. Probably a different trumpet. This trumpet to come up and the rapture of the church, the believers. So the mount was to be holy, to be separated. It was God's mount, Mount Sinai. And it was a terror thing. It wasn't a grace. It was a very fearful thing. Let's read verse 14. Somebody read 14 already. Bill, do you want to give the question 14 and answer that for us, please?
After Moses came down from the mount, what did he do unto the children of Israel? He set apart and made holy the people.
Okay, set them apart, sanctify them, wash their clothes. Now, what does it mean to sanctify?
Set apart.
Set apart, make them holy, make them really so that they're clean. Mm-hmm. And today,
dedicated.
Today, God sanctifies us in three different tenses. Those that are genuine Christians. What are the tenses He sanctifies us in? Past, present, future. The past, from the penalty of sin, present, the power of sin, the future, presence of sin. He sanctifies us, sets us apart. Very important that we be sanctified. All right, Jacob, would you read 15, please? I'll go a verse at a time, maybe, instead of two verses. 15, if you would, please.
And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives.
All right, so why don't you take that question, 15, too, while we're same person.
Okay. On what day were the children of Israel to be ready? On the third day.
On the third day. What does this mean, come not at your wives?
Don't have no relations with them.
All right. No married relation, no married love at all. He wanted them just clean everything. This is a separation thing. He wanted them to be pure in every way, so there's no nothing that is out of place in any way. All right,
I sort of forget. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third. What was the third day again?
Well, the third day, you remember the very first question was, before he came in, what was that first question? Something about the third day.
The third month,
that's right. He just waited 3 days before he went into action. See, there were 3 days waiting. I don't know what the significance of the third day. Bill, do you have any idea on that one?
No.
But be ready against the third day. So they washed their clothes, sanctified the people. The third day is what they had. So if I was to read verse 16, please.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. See, I don't know what that third day was.
Well, it's the third day after Moses went down from the mount unto the people.
When he came down from the mount.
That's right. He came down the third day after he came down. Yes.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders, lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
All right, why don't you answer that 16th question, please, and read it and answer it for us also.
What four things caused the children of Israel to tremble? The thunder, the lightning, the thick cloud on the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet.
If we heard all those things and saw those things, would we also tremble?
Yeah.
That's really something, isn't it?
If it was really scary, if it was just a little thing, you wouldn't.
Even when lightning and thunder comes. I mean, it's frightening, especially if it's near where we are. And so this was... now, what is this picture of the law? Is the law of Moses, based on who gave it and how it was given, to seem something wonderful, beautiful, and pretty, or something severe and thunderous and hard and difficult and with penalties?
Well, actually, all of it. It's both beautiful and it's hard because you have to obey.
Yes, but this is different from the race of Calvary. It's just blackness and lightning and thunders and clouds.
It's a lot harder.
Yes. Go ahead, Jacob.
Chapter 12, Hebrews.
12:21, go ahead. So there was a frightening thing. Yes, Bill just put up a sign. If you want to call, give us a call, 856-261-9018. Call us and give us a comment or question if you have any, those listening to us. So remember in John 1:17, what does it say? The law was given by Moses, but
grace and truth
came how?
By Jesus Christ.
So there's a great contrast between the law of Moses, thunders and lightnings and frightening. You think these people were happy when they heard all these lightnings and thunders?
And they were frightened.
They were frightened. There was a fear. But in grace, God giving us a Savior, the Lord Jesus, so we trust Him and we have everlasting life. That's a gracious thing and a godly thing. Without the fear, you should be afraid of going to hell. That should be one of the things we should fear. People should fear in these days. Yvonne.
Do you think that they were all they had, if they had tents? I don't know if they put up tents when they were marching or what. But they were out in the open, and maybe they were standing near the mountain. I mean, not close, but near enough to see all this. They were out in the open when the thunder and the lightning, and it must have been terrible.
They must have seen some of it.
I think, I only read a little part of that out of Hebrews 12.
Go ahead, Jake. Go ahead.
It starts in 18, really. Mm-hmm. For he had not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But the next verse, ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Amen. Well, the difference is different. Something that's tremendous, isn't it? The difference between grace and the law of Moses. Even Moses himself was afraid, right in that verse, isn't he? He quaked. And so...
must have been terrible.
Must have been an awful thing.
To show his holiness, I guess.
I don't know whose turn it is. Is it Jersey Lane? Read 17 and answer that question for us, please.
Moses spoke forth the people out of the camp, which was God's food, another part of the mouth.
Okay, and would you read the question 17? Give us an answer, please. That's right, the lower part, the nether part, see? So it says he brought forth the people to meet with God. How does anybody meet with God today?
Through prayer.
Before studying and reading, praying.
Reading, praying, but first, before all that, what must take place before you can meet with God?
Born again.
Being born again, being a genuine Christian. Okay. Trust Christ as our Savior and Redeemer. Then we can meet with Him. Can we talk with Him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right? Through the veil, the Lord Jesus has made it possible through His flesh, through the death of Christ at the cross, we can. To meet with God, they stood the nether part, or nether, as Lane said, the lower part, see, far away. Yes, Bill?
Whether we can speak to God, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, so we're never really alone.
Mm-hmm.
I could be alone in my living room and just not reading, not doing anything in particular, but I'm not alone. The Spirit is there, and I can converse with Him at any time.
Yes, you said we. Now, what is the we? Who is involved in the we or not alone? Everybody in the world?
That's for everybody, too.
Is everybody?
Anybody who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
But those that don't accept Him?
They're alone.
They are alone, aren't they? They don't have the Holy Spirit within them. So that's a different situation, isn't it? All right, let's see. Is it Dale? Go ahead, Dale. Is it maybe your turn? I don't know whose turn.
Verse 18.
Verse 18, and read that verse and the question, please.
And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly.
Okay, and verse question 18, please.
What two results occurred when the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai? Was it a smoke, a lot of smoke?
Yes, okay.
The Lord descended upon it, and fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. The whole mount quaked.
What does it mean to quake?
Shake.
Shake, that's right. Now, it says the whole mount was on a smoke. Does the Lord smoke?
No,
not in the sense we talk about smoking cigarettes, no, but the mountain. So that shows the power of God to cause these things. The great smoke of a furnace. I think that was a hot smoke or a cold smoke?
Noise.
Probably a hot smoke of a furnace. You don't want to get near that furnace. That's right. All right, Jacob, would you read 19 and give us the question and answer, please?
Right. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
Okay, then verse 19, please.
How did the Lord respond to Moses? By a voice.
That's good, by a voice. Does the Lord speak by voices today?
No.
No, we don't. We have the Bible, the whole scripture. That's where he speaks to us, isn't it? Through the scriptures, rather than a voice. Do some false teachers say that God speaks to them by a voice?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know a guy on the other side of the neighborhood that's near here where we live.
Uh-huh.
He constantly says, God told me this and God told me that. I asked him specifically, well, what do you mean by that? He tried to kind of hedge the issue, but, you know, the problem is this guy he don't believe in the deity of Christ. If he's in any kind of voice, it's from Satan.
Yes.
It's real angry when I try to show him that, too.
That's right. But he's given us his word, the scriptures. That's why we have to have the proper scriptures. That's why we stand for our King James Bible, proper translation from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. So God spoke with a voice, and so and the trumpet louder and louder. All right, verse 20. Let's see, is it whose turn is it?
I'll do that.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Wade's busy doing something.
Okay,
else.
Go ahead.
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
All right. And question 20, please.
Okay, who did the Lord ask to come to the top of the Mount Sinai? He asked Moses.
Did Moses obey God when he said, come up?
Yes.
Yes, he did. But sometimes when God gives you commands, does everybody obey God?
No.
They don't obey. Should we obey?
Yes.
Absolutely. Please, Lord, help me. And so he went up in obedience to the Lord. To Mount Sinai. So that shows what Mount it is, isn't it? It's Mount Sinai in the desert there. All right, Vaughn, is it your turn, honey?
It could be. I'm trying to find a song.
Okay, so we'll go to
class,
go to How About Elaine? And How About Elaine? Go ahead with 21, please.
The Lord talked to us and short
All right, and question 21, please. That's good. What does it mean, to gaze?
Look intently.
Look intently. God didn't even want him to look at the mount, did he? That's interesting. Stay away. Don't look. He didn't. Go ahead, Jacob. Yes.
Thunders and quake and earthquake. Yeah, I guess I'd go up too.
Came down on the top and
did he go up two times?
He was up and down, and certainly Moses, he sensed the very power of God. He was able to see.
And then Aaron and so, went with him.
Later on, I think Aaron was sent with him as well.
Day.
And so that was verse number 19, right? Oh, that was 20, right?
20.
That's right. So he called Moses, and Moses obeyed. Which
that was 21. I'm sorry.
That was
the one we just finished.
Do we rest? Oh yeah, 21. To gaze upon him, many perish just for looking. As we perish, how many people perish today? How do you go about perishing today?
Well, some people die slowly.
What about spiritual perishing?
How many
people?
If they're not saved, then they're not even born spiritually.
Shall not perish.
All right. They shall not perish. Let's quote that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Those who do not believe don't have that.
That's right. In what sense is this perishing in John 3:16?
Eternal
separation from God. What place will they go if they don't trust the Lord Jesus?
Hell.
In hell, all right? That's right. What is hell like?
I don't want to go there and find out.
In darkness? What else?
Fire.
Fire, that's right, fire. Yeah.
Loneliness.
They're all by themselves. Does everybody who claims to be a Christian believe there's fire in hell?
Yeah.
No.
No, there's some that deny. They say, oh, it's just a figure of speech. But Lord Jesus talks about a flaming fire. And in fact, that man in Luke 16.
Lazarus. Yes.
Tell my brother, I tormented me in this flame. See, there's torment.
Was it when they were walking on the water, I forget, and one of the disciples said, carest thou not that we perish?
Yes.
Was that something else?
That was the water, storm in the water.
Storm in the water.
That's perishing physically, isn't it? But there's also perishing spiritually. Does everybody in the world know that they're going to perish without Christ? Does everyone know that?
No.
Most people have no idea.
No, they have no idea. But just because they don't believe it, does that make it's not so?
No.
Scriptures must be truth, right? If I.
Well, that on the word perish, some people talk old-fashioned, old-fashioned ways. And this one girl, when she's talking to me, she said, and they perished. And
oh, yes.
So-and-so perished.
Yes. What do they mean by that?
They meant they died.
That's right. What does it mean, perish, the thought? What does that mean? May it never be. That's right. May it be dead and not
sort
true.
Of, it's sort of nice to hear it.
Yes.
But we've
got to face up, and God did not want them to touch that mount, even gaze upon it. Many perish, not simply one or two, but many of them. All right, let's see. Yes, go ahead, Jacob.
I hate to interrupt you like this.
That's all right.
I was using some cross references this morning.
Uh-huh. Good.
Let's see, Proverbs 4:19. I think I've memorized this, but I just want to make sure.
All right.
If the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble.
That's
so
right.
We still have to have mercy on these people. We still have to have compassion on these people.
Yes.
They're like not knowing their right hand from their left, like it says in the end of that book, Jonah.
That's right. We've got to have mercy, and that's why we have to send out missionaries. We have to be honest and clear. If you have a question or comment, call us at 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. All right, Elaine, maybe you could take, is it 22 now?
23.
So,
I'm sorry. You're
22,
right.
22. If we read that for us, please, and then the question.
And mutton feast also was come near to the Lord's sacrifice.
All right, and question 22, please. All right, the priest. Why would the priest need to be sanctified as well as the people?
Because they're going to teach.
They're going to teach. Just because they're priests, are automatically sanctified?
They have to do their hearts right,
their clothes right, and everything. So today, does God want all of true Christians to be set apart and sanctified?
Yes.
Yes.
Does that mean we're perfect?
No.
No, can't be perfect. What does it mean?
We're saved.
We're saved and wants to separate from evil and unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Separation from and to.
Right. We're in the world but not of the world.
In the world but not of the world. So these priests, they had to be set apart and said, were any of the Levitical priests not separated to the Lord? Did any of them sin? Do you remember in the Old Testament?
Yes.
What were two sons of Aaron? What did they do?
Yes.
Nadab and Abihu. What did they do?
They offered strange prayer.
They drank before they went, and they offered, went up to the, they shouldn't drink because that same chapter says don't drink. What did they do? Where did they go?
They went to the Holy of Holies.
In the tabernacle and probably Holy of Holies. And what did they do there? Offered what?
Strange fire.
See, they were not supposed to offer incense. That was for the priest, a special type of priest. And especially Aaron, the high priest, once a year going into the Holy of Holies. So the priests were not always right. What about Eli? What kind of a priest was he?
A fat one.
Fat one, other than being fat, what else?
He was very heavy.
He was heavy. How do we know he was heavy? What did it say about Eli when he died?
He fell off a stool or a chair or something.
That's
he
right.
He broke his neck because he was so heavy.
What news did he hear? What bad news did he hear before he fell off?
Something
about the Philistines, wasn't it? The battle? Yes, and he fell backwards when he heard it, and he died. It says right there, he was an old man and heavy. He just fell right over, didn't he? So that was a priest. Did he bring up his sons to do that which was right?
No.
What did their sons do? You remember the priestly sons?
I remember.
What happened?
They used to take of the meat and
Was David Cook before we knew it was a, that's right.
If they said anything to him, they threatened to hurt him.
That's right. So there's a priest. He was not sanctified. What was the priest that taught little Samuel?
Eli
was the priest.
You wonder at that when he couldn't teach his own sons.
Yeah, his own sons were wicked. So, in fact, God said, how many times did he call it to Samuel?
I think three times.
Three times. Lord, here am I. And he went to Eli. What did you say? No. Second time, here am I. No. Eli said, no, it's the Lord talking to you. So I'm glad the Lord got through to Samuel.
And next time he calls, say, here am I.
Say, here am I. And that's right. So the priests need to be sanctified as well as the people. All right, verse 23. I don't remember where we are. Who's next?
Maybe me.
Is it you? I don't know.
And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds upon the mountain, sanctify it.
All right, and the question 23, please. And the answer?
Who said the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai? Moses said that the people couldn't come up.
And Moses said, didn't he?
God said there were bonds set to keep people away. There was something.
There was a prohibition. Now, does the people always recognize bonds?
No.
For instance, sometimes police set barricades and they don't go here, but do they always respect those?
Everybody wants to do things their own way.
Their own way. But notice, it says not only set bounds about the mouth, but to sanctify it. What does that mean? Sanctify the mouth. What's that mean?
The mouth is the separated mouth.
What
does that mean?
Set it apart. It's different. It's holy.
If all the people formed a circle around the mouth, they've sanctified the mouth. Because they've set that apart.
Well, they can set it apart either without a circle, but in other words, it's God's mouth.
Yeah.
Because God was there. He was right there appearing. And anything, if they touched any part of that mouth, they would die. It was a horrible, horrible thing. So he wanted this. In other words, this is a special mouth, right? So charge them. Yes, go ahead, Ben. Or Jacob. Her thought I heard Jacob. All right.
Thou shalt not breathe.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, how about that? I know it's
kind of
scratching your ear or something, but I just breathe.
Yeah, that's good. All right. What does it mean, charges us? What does charges mean?
It means set apart, make holy, purify.
To charge somebody?
Charges.
Commanded and warned,
absolutely.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong thing.
Commanded and warned people, exactly.
That was sort of a strange definition.
All right, whose turn is it for 24? Elaine, is it yours? Is it Dale's? Is it Bill's? Whose is it?
Take it, that's Wade.
Go ahead, take it, Jacob.
And the Lord said unto him, away thee get down. Away get thee down, shall I say. And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron and thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest you break forth upon them.
All right, and question 24, please.
Who else did the Lord allow to come with Moses upon the mountain? And it was Aaron.
Okay, who was Aaron? What was his relation to Moses?
He was his brother.
His brother, that's right, Paul. The younger brother or the older brother? Aaron, what?
Older brother.
Older brother, how many years older was he?
Three,
that's right, you got it, 3 years older. Now, was Aaron always, what did God appoint Aaron to be in the Old Testament?
A high priest.
What tribe was Aaron from?
Levi.
Levi.
He also was a spokesman.
He's a spokesman. Why was Aaron the spokesman for Moses when God called Moses?
Because Moses said he couldn't speak.
He said he couldn't speak, and what did God say?
He didn't fight with him, I guess. He said, well, we'll give you someone to speak for
you. And Aaron will speak. I'm going to talk to you, Moses, but Aaron's going to be your spokesman.
But Moses did speak a lot.
Moses?
I think it's chapter
7. Uh-huh.
I'm
all right. Very good. He's the one to be the prophet, the spokesman, and so on. So, and now was Aaron always a good, what was the title of Aaron? What did
high
God
priest.
Make him? High priest. What is a high priest? How do you define that?
He He's the one that goes into the Holy of Holies every year on the Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement. What month and what day was that?
That was, it was the 7th month, I think, on the 10th day.
Was it the 10th or 15th? I forget. 10th or 15th. You know, the 7th month. You say once a year. And so, was Aaron always righteous?
No.
Now, we're not there yet, but later on in Exodus, what we're going to see about Aaron, how he failed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
How? What did he do?
He'll make the golden calf.
What's that there?
She said the cow. He built the cow.
Built the cow. Okay, that calf, that golden calf. That golden calf, that's right. And why did he build the golden calf? Who persuaded him?
The people,
they said. Where is this Moses?
He's
up in the mountains. He's up there for about 40 days or whatever. And so, make gods and go before us.
Aaron failed as a leader at that point.
Failed as a leader. Now, there's another thing that Aaron failed at. Do you remember what that was?
I remember. It was that, it's in Numbers 11.
All right.
It wasn't Numbers 11. I was wrong. I was thinking about
okay. Remember, I'm going to go take you back to the time when God said to Moses, speak to the rock to bring forth water. Now, later on you get to that, but not yet. But who was with Moses at the time?
Aaron was with him.
That's right. And did God judge, what did Moses do to the rock? Did he just speak to the rock to bring forth the water on that occasion?
He struck it twice.
Not even just once, but twice. Was God pleased with that?
No, he
gave Aaron responsibility for that also.
Yes, and both of them, what did he promise or say that both of them could not do?
Enter into the promised land.
Enter into the promised land, absolutely not. Who died first, Moses or Aaron?
Aaron,
that's right, Aaron, okay. And God took him up to the mount and slew him there. And later on, Moses, after a while, he also died. Couldn't he saw the mount, the promised land, but never went into it. And up to Mount Hor. So Aaron was, but he was with him here. Now, remember, thou and Aaron come up and get thee down, but not the priest. So why didn't the priest also come up? Why just Aaron, do you think? Why just Aaron come up to the mount?
We didn't want them all up there.
Didn't want them, just Aaron. So apparently Moses and his brother Aaron were the ones that got selected to come up. It's amazing. They had that privilege. All right, who's got verse 25? Forget where we are.
I'll do that.
Go ahead, Bill. 25, please.
So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them.
All right, question 25, please.
Who spake unto the people? Moses.
All right, now. What did the people say before Moses in the earlier part of this chapter? What they say they're going to do? Remember? What did the people say they're going to do?
Everything that Moses said.
That's right. All that the God has commanded, we will do. But did they always do it?
No.
They didn't.
They failed on a regular basis.
That's right. They were almost incessantly failures. In verse 25, he went down to the people and spake to them. Did the speaking make them obey?
No, but you think after all that lightning and everything, they would get frightened.
You'd think they'd be afraid and fear the Lord. But he did speak unto them. He told them in the next chapter, Pastor Dan will be back for that chapter 20. But there's where the Ten Commandments are given. And these two men were up to the mount and they saw God. But the people and the priests. What's that? What say?
Elaine.
Oh, Elaine. Go ahead, Elaine.
Read 25.
Go ahead and read 25. I think we read that already. But read it again, Elaine. That's fine.
So Moses went down to the people and spoke unto them.
Okay, and verse 20, read the question 25, read that and say that again. We'll just repeat ourselves that. Go ahead. That's good, Moses. And speaking, though, is not always, you can speak to people. That doesn't mean they do what you're supposed to do when they speak, am I right? It's got to be obedient. All right, we've got through the 25, but I want to ask this, Pastor, and I always ask, what do you think that you any comments on this chapter? Let's start over there with Paul and Elaine. Paul, do you have any comments on this chapter?
Yes, Bill. Well, Paul is very explicit and detailed in following, Moses, the way he was able to show the
Israel
and what to do in terms of obedience and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that he does this as protect us, and he's sovereign. He's a sovereign God. He's a sovereign God, and he's in control and all knowing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's good, Paul. Elaine, do you have some comments on this chapter?
Eagle's wings.
Oh yes, eagle's wings. That's good. Born eagles and brought to them myself. It's wonderful. Okay, Dale, would you have comments on the chapter here, please?
On verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples, for the earth is mine. That is now, I don't know what the word called a peculiar people.
Yes, book of Peter, that's right.
Crazy people, but we're in there.
People for possession, that's what that means. I think it's Peter that says it, isn't it? That's good, Dale. Peculiar people. All right, Jacob, do you have comments on the chapter, please?
Yes, sir. I was thinking about that same area. I was thinking about verse 6. If they would have obeyed, they would have been a nation of priests and a holy nation.
Yes.
He called out the Levites for this, and remember at 34... I think it was 34 when he said who was on God's side when he slew the 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, on the day of Pentecost, the 3,000 were saved. So I see an accounting thing there.
Yes, very good. Bill, do you have some comments on the chapter?
Yeah, pretty much the same verses, 5 and 6. This is Moses is about to receive the law. But God is revealing that he still values faith above all.
Yes.
And people could be saved even in those times by faith alone.
Yes. Very good.
Abraham was saved by faith.
Right.
Enoch was saved by faith. Noah.
Yeah. Old Testament faith. Good. Bob, do you have some comments on the chapter?
I'm sorry, I'm interested in how they wash their clothes.
Okay.
And
did they have a washing machine?
No. But
I wonder if they had laundry detergent.
It's like cleanliness is next to godliness, they say. And so the Lord wants you to be clean, spiritually and physically.
Spiritually and physically. Clean people. Wash for the blood of Christ. He wants us clean. Confess our sins. Let's say 1 John 1:9 together. If we confess our sins,
yes.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing, that's washing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. By agreeing with God when we sin, for saved, the generous saved, we agree with Him and then He freely cleanses us from all unrighteousness. How often should that confession be of our sin?
Every day.
Constantly. Every single time we get into trouble. Lord, I agree. This is wrong, please. And we agree with Him, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. What's that?
Sorry. Oh. I poked to see what time it was.
Oh. The person started talking. All right, any other comments before we close in a word of prayer? All right, Jacob, would you close in a word of prayer for us, would you please?
Father God, thank you so much we come together to study Your words. Lord, we've all sinned grievously. Walk with You without Your Holy Spirit helping us.
Yes.
And we need to keep short accounts. And we know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. of our sins.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.